The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Joining us now on the line is our good friend Larry Kudlow, CNBC senior contributor and host of the Larry Kudlow Show, heard on WMAL Saturdays at 7 o'clock. Hey, Larry, how are you?
Good morning.
We're digesting the Benghazi report. I know you may have seen some of the early morning reports about it. Any thoughts about what you see there so far?
No, I haven't really had a chance to look at it, tell you the truth.
All right. Well, I won't waste any time there. Brexit. I know that you have some things to say about Brexit. So many people reacting over there as if, oh, my gosh, the world is coming to an end. Is this an overreaction, the markets and all this stuff we're seeing right now?
Well, I think so. I mean, it's tricky business, and I'm not going to try to time a market call. But I've written in favor of Brexit. I call it Magna Carta 2.0. I think it's going to be good for economic growth. I think it's going to be good for British independence and self-governance. And I think over time it's going to be very good for their economy. So, you know, my advice here is to kind of ride through this market volatility. I don't know when it'll stop. It can't go on forever. I mean, one thing I want to say here is Britain could do itself a favor, and so could the United States if it wanted to. And that is, start gathering, start meeting, and mapping out an expanded trade relationship with each other. Now, Obama kind of poisoned that well. He went to Britain, went to London, campaigned against Brexit, insulted all the voters, probably helped Brexit. Now Obama's been a little more cautious. But, I mean, if we wanted to really help calm world markets, what needs to be laid out is a trading relationship, which I devoutly hope we expand regarding Britain. Britain's a big country, good economy. It's a financial center. That's one thing they could do right away. So far, they haven't done that. And so far, the British Tory Party, I hate to see them wait till September to pick a new leader. I'd like to see them get moving right away. I think there's some more urgency to that. So they can embark on EU relationships regarding trade and finance.
Can you explain how this is going to be good for growth, the Brexit? Because that goes contrary to what I'm hearing from a lot of the so-called experts on the business channels. How will the American economy grow more because of the Brexit?
Well, I think in particular it's the British economy's growth that I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Because it's all about policies, right? So the EU has become a super left-wing socialist regulator. They're sticking their nose into things they shouldn't stick into. They're a regulator. They're a judicial regulator. And they've taken away a lot of British sovereignty on this. That's the heart of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you get out from under that, Britain can become an even more free market supply side country than it has recently. And by the way, their tax rates are fairly low. They could be lower. A lot of regulations in Britain. That'll help Britain. That'll make them a stronger economy. By the way, same advice to the United States. Roll back regulations, roll back tax rates, improve your trading relationships. Donald Trump's going to speak today about trade.
I want to ask you about that. I know that you have been very helpful in helping Donald Trump sort of formulate his economic theories, and he's got this big speech today. What are we likely to hear?
Well, I think Trump's... probably his main principal point today is going to say to China and others, stop breaking the rules. You are damaging American workers, and you are damaging the American economy because of your constant rule-breaking. And he's going to indicate processes whereby the U.S. will take actions to prevent them. And if they come from negotiations and they continue to break the rules, then Trump is going to take additional actions. He will bring lawsuits, trading lawsuits, WHO-related lawsuits, WTO-related lawsuits, rather. He will, if necessary, do what Reagan and other presidents have done, and he will apply specific targeted tariffs if need be. He's not going to have across-the-board tariffs, but he's going to be very tough on this. He's going to call for tougher currency negotiations, and he's going to basically say, look, breaking these deals has damaged America. It's damaged parts of America, hurt our employment, hurt our growth. I don't think he's wrong in this, by the way. And it's going to be a very tough speech.
Larry, help me out on this, because it seems to me that a whole lot of Donald Trump's policies are contingent on the looming threat of tariffs. How will Mexico pay for the wall on the border? Well, the threat of tariffs there is going to push them to the table. How are we going to get American jobs back and American industry back? Well, there's a threat of tariffs to China and other trade partners that we have. I know you don't want us to slip into a Herbert Hoover-style protectionist economy. So at what point do these threats of tariffs actually turn into real legitimate tariffs versus just a negotiating tactic? Because we should know, shouldn't we?
Yes, of course. These are processes. We don't have, in my opinion at least, down through the years, particularly after China entered the World Trade Organization, which, correct me if I'm wrong, was about 2001, 2002, something like that. We've never had really tough negotiating process. It's like every year, think about this. The Chinese come to the United States, the Chinese leaders come. We have state dinners. We have front page stories. We're going to have stable currencies. They're going to stop breaking rules, and nothing ever changes.
Right.
And I think what Trump's going to say is something's going to change. And he will take actions under the law, by the way. This speech carefully cites legal precedent. I'm glad of it, incidentally. And there's a new Customs Enforcement Act that backs that up, Paul Ryan and Senator Ron Wyden. So he's saying, look, we're going to do something.
But it's not like China's going to say, yeah, you're right, Mr. Trump. We've been getting away with it, but now we'll play nice. No, they're going to fight back. They're going to say, no, forget it. Everything's fine, and you're the ones who... And then we got a trade war, don't we?
No, I wouldn't call it a trade war, because... China needs the United States desperately. I think there's a point you just made that has been the conventional wisdom, that if we do anything at all to protect our trade and to back up our laws, they'll walk away and have a trade war. I don't think that's correct. Or let me say this. I think in international trade deals, just in a lot of international deals, If you keep breaking the rules, you got to pay a penalty for it.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it right there. Larry Kudlow, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's a great conversation, Larry. We'll continue. And we'll look for that Trump speech today, too, by the way.
It's 844.